You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. We've got the whole squad of four breaking down an Avs win 5-0 over the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, sometimes you get easy ones, and that's okay. Gotta enjoy them while you can. Let's hit the 60-second rundown first.
I gotta tell you, you've scarred me with enough of your ad reads over the years that when you said sometimes you get easy ones, part of my body just braced.
Here it goes.
What was about
Where
to be said.
Where is this going?
And then it dawned on me that we were at the very beginning of the show, and that's not what was coming. All right.
The first period, I actually don't think the Avs played any good at all, to be honest with you. It was not particularly good hockey, but Eustace Annamon played well, kept Chicago from scoring, and eventually the Avs break through at the end of the period. Zach Parise with the finish. Old man Zach, they call him, to get the Avs up 1-0. And then you get into the second period, and the Avs kind of just take over the game. They more or less run away with it from our way. Now, was the first goal Colton? Am I dumb?
It's Colton.
Yeah.
After.
It was after?
After, like, it went Parise-Colton.
There you go. Yeah, Parise. I was in the loose correct area. It's fine. Parise did score 2 goals in this game when you include the second period, so maybe that's where I got it mixed up. He did go for a three-point night. But beyond Parise and Colton, you also get Nathan MacKinnon, who picks up a goal and an assist in this game for 100 points on the season. I'm sure we'll talk about that more. And, yeah, you cap it off with a Devon Taves goal at the end of the second period for 4-0. The Avs get to 5-0. Cruiserville. Be honest, chat. Did you even notice? Did you even notice, chat, that that was the last time they played the Blackhawks?
Did they?
You didn't even notice. Avs do win over the Blackhawks 5-0 again, though. That happened. That was fun. I know the 60-second rundown of the last game was there were some things I didn't like. There's not a whole lot I did not like tonight, man. The Avs just dominated that team.
At least last time I had Chris Wagner getting his face punched in as a dud. I'm not sure what dud I have tonight.
Some tough duddage right there.
Yeah, I don't even know. I guess penalties.
Yeah, Cogs penalties. There's a couple of Cogs penalties that weren't great. That's fair. Fair enough. There's always something
Slim
that's not perfect.
Pickens.
But another night for Colorado where it feels like they took care of business. And they're supposed to beat Chicago, but it's an easy team. Well, they did. They did the thing that they were supposed to do. So credit where credit is due to Colorado. The one thing I will say, actually, no, I don't even have this to say, because their special teams were awesome. Like you said, maybe a few too many penalties, but the penalty kill was great. So, no nitpicks for Colorado. This is just the party post-game podcast. That's where we're at for this one.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of ran out of bits.
Yeah.
We were really excited to call them the Butthawks on Twitter.
Yeah.
We came up with multiple jokes, and then we did the bit with the starting with the pod from Laskin. Now it's just kind of like, I don't know what to say.
See you tomorrow, roster Rizzler.
Yeah.
Bring your rosters.
Yeah. And get ready to have all of your hard cap friendly work get roasted by a guy with a wand.
God, he's going to have all sorts of action going on that show. It's going to be a crazy guy. But Eric, I wanted to ask you this, though. You look at Colorado's ups and downs over the last four or so games. They've had some really good wins. Obviously, the bad win to Nashville. A team like Chicago, how easy is it for Colorado to take this game seriously? Or how is maybe I should ask it, do the Avs deserve credit for staying locked in and taking care of business tonight, or is that just the expectation?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, right? It's the expectations. I think it makes it a little bit easier because you lost in Nashville. You know what I mean? So then it's like you get punched in the face a little bit. Like, all right, maybe we got to get back to, you know, that's 19 games, right? Or whatever, 20 games left. I keep forgetting those two extra games, you know.
19.
Yeah, it would be 19
now. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, a little bit of both. But we were just talking, AJ and I. Like, we're like, it's funny because you're supposed to win. You're supposed to play good. So you don't get a cookie for that. But even though I agree, you do get a cookie because they did what they're supposed to do. But if you play bad and you lose, you know, you can only lose from this game. You know what I mean? You can't really gain anything. But what I'm saying is, they did what they had to do. It made it a little easier that they lost in Nashville, in my mind. And it makes it easier that you are 19 games away from playoffs now. So good habits. AJ wanted that. They got it. We wanted the goaltending duel. They got it. And wanted to win the special teams. They got it. So there you go. Easy five-dub win.
They really did hit all the checkpoints on the list of the keys to the game or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not... I'm honestly not going to fret too much about 37 shots on goal, scoring chances, high danger chances. By the end of the night, it had evened out a bit. But when it's 4-0 going into the third period and the Avs are clearly in, hey, we're just trying not to get hurt.
Human nature.
I don't care. To me, honestly, I'm fine with that. You're managing a game against a team that is not going to come back on you.
When this game was competitive, the scoring chances were 15-7 in the Avs' favor. Yeah. They were completely in control of this game.
Yeah.
When you got nothing, I always remember when you got nothing to lose, so you're playing for nothing. Sometimes, and you talk about NHL athletes, high skilled players, like you'll take chances sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, because it doesn't matter whether if it doesn't work and you get a turnover and you get scored on, who cares? You're going to lose 6-0 or 5-0, so what? So that's when you see a lot of scoring chances happen, and you know, when you're up 5-0 against a bad team that's going nowhere in the playoffs, and so that's kind of where the numbers get skewed a little bit.
I do have this question because we talked about this before the game. You wanted to see the Avs work hard, go to Pizza Hut, whatever you want to call it tonight. Do you think they did enough of that?
Yeah, man, I have no problems. Okay. I really don't.
Because they certainly had some nice skill on display as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which, power to them if they can pull it off. Not going to take that away from him. Was just curious to see how you guys felt about the, I don't want to call it whatever you want, grit per 60 or whatever.
Good puck luck.
There was definitely some good bounces going their way.
But in order to get good bounces and to get puck luck, you got to be there too. You know, Parisi... Parise, that's I mean, good puck luck, but that's bad puck luck for freaking Mrazek if you're the goalie. but you're at Pizza Hut, you're in the greasy area, you're squeezing the cheese there, and you're right there, and you could take it easy and have the finger up your nose and be 10 feet to the right or left, but he was at the right place. You know what I mean? So I think to answer your question is yeah, I do believe they did enough, and then there were some nice plays too. You know what I mean? So I think it was a little mixture of everything. That's what the Avs have, and we'll talk about it later this week. But once you add it to, you know, Val, and you know, like what you were saying earlier, you were salivating. Oh, Val will be back, and friggin', you know, which is awesome. You know what I mean? And then you're getting a little mixture of high powered offense with, you know, guys like you added Parisi, you added. We'll see what they're going to add this week.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there, you know?
With this game being what it was, ultimately an Avs stomp for the most part, you take a Colorado team that is focused on nailing down the details, or in theory, you would like them to be locking in for a playoff run. Does this actually help them lock in for a playoff run that much? Or is this just...
Doesn't not help them.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's not going to move the needle a whole lot, man.
Okay, just checking.
They've got better teams coming in this week that they also need to beat. You really need to show it on the road.
Yeah.
That's where you've had your biggest struggle. Really need to show it on the road.
For sure. I don't want to take anything away from a good win or anything.
It's not going to move the needle.
Yep. I think that's perfectly fair. I want to start with Chicago's side a little bit more than anything. That team might lose like 18 of their last 20 games.
They are bad.
CHGO's doing a post game over on their side of it. I don't envy those guys. I'll tell you that much.
Here's what I'll say. I mean, we said it before in pregame. Like, it's not as bad, you know. Meaning, like, you know, there were some injuries and some key guys, and even Seth Jones missed a while, right? And then Taylor Hall, and the list goes on. Like, you know, the Corey Perry experiment. Things didn't go well. Here's what I'll say about Chicago, and here's what I'm hoping. Luke Richardson's a great guy. I think he's a great coach. He will be a great coach. You just hope that they're going to stick with him. And I'm assuming that's the plan, but you never know. I mean, as coaches get fired every freaking week in this league, you hope they're going to stick with him, and then he'll be there for the end product. You know what I mean? Like, because this is a tough ride. Listen, I'm not comparing, but just think of tonight. If you're saying CHGO and us tonight, their post-game show, not the same, but think of Luke Richardson on the bench when he's looking left and looking right, and he's like, "Who's up next?" When Bednar's got, "Who's up next?" It's a little different, you know. It's a different roster. It's a different place in the franchise history where they're at, but it still doesn't make it fun to go through it. You know what I mean? It is tough to go through it. It's just, I was watching Morning Skate this morning, and I'm like, It just drags, you know. It just drags, right? You know, even though it is a privilege to be in the NHL, you're still getting your ass kicked every night. It's not fun. It's just not.
We were talking about this watching Seth Jones.
Yeah.
As the game went on, like, how does that guy stay motivated?
Oh, it's hard.
You have a long-term deal. You've got your money, $9 million. You don't have your, what are you playing for? Your team is terrible.
That's tough.
Yeah,
there are going to be plenty of there's a personality type that won't have a problem. That'll be like, I'm going to mentor the younger guys. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, going to come to the office every day with a chipper attitude, but the other 90% of humanity is going to be like, what is the point of this?
At best, they're still engaged because they're like, I need to play well to get out of here.
Yeah. Stay in the league. Yeah, right. More like stay in the league.
Yeah. It's crazy, man.
It's okay. Macklin Celebrini's coming. He's coming.
Yeah, to San Jose.
Not Chicago.
It's going to be neither. It's going to be Columbus.
Anaheim.
Won't be the Avs, I'll tell you that much. I mean, look.
It's Cranberries right now. I'm vibing with it, yeah, man. I am digging the Cranberries as our post-game music right now.
They're describing the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. Correct.
Do we have our three stars ready? Let's just get into those, because there's going to be a lot of praising going on tonight. Star number three. It's Cale Makar. Finally puts one in the back of the net.
Hell yeah.
Has a multi-point night. I you could even see it on Kale's face when that puck went in. He was just like, ugh.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Expelled the demon on that one a little bit. And the thing is,
you make it sound like you kicked the demon out of school. You expelled. Demon, I expel you.
You've been missing too many classes.
Oh, that's
out.
And the thing is, like, obviously, the Avs need better than Cale Makar than what they've gotten over this stretch. But I think you can look back at a lot of those games and go, you know, Cale made a lot of dope plays. He was pretty close in a lot of those games, just couldn't finish the goal or would have a mistake on the back end. And Makar is a good enough player that he'll get by on 70, 80%. I, you know, I'm just pulling a number out of my butt there, but he's capable of so much more against hockey teams. Yeah. And it doesn't even necessarily take the all-world skill and finesse that Cale Makar is capable of. Look at the play on the goal tonight. It's not anything special. Cale Makar just recognizes open ice, yeah, skates into it, and gets a puck and finishes.
Yeah.
He's good enough to do it without all of the bells and whistles all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, AJ and I were, I mean, I said a comment out loud because I, you know, as you guys know, I love him. His first two shifts, he was out of this world tonight, you know, and then AJ said, yeah, but there's been a dip lately. And he's right. AJ's right. He'd come on strong and then there'd be a dip, you know what I mean, in his play, where tonight there was no dip. But also to his struggles, you know what I mean, through his struggles, you got to remember it's a five-man unit and nothing was connected, you know, in that span of 10 games there. So sometimes you make plays and the guy's not there or the guy doesn't finish or, you know what I mean, it could have been a little bit easier for him offensively. It's more defensively, like we talked about. Him and Devontae's were not at their best, where on a game like tonight, I feel that his play was, there was no ebbs and flows. It was just right at the top.
Yep.
Right? And then I think those games are important because his face shows it to all of us that he's only human, that he's, you know, when he scores, he's like, oh my, about time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, because we're accustomed to so much from him. And then a game like that, then it served its purpose, meaning he got out of a slump. He played at a high pace the whole night. I don't care who it was against. This guy can play against the best team in the National Hockey League that way and the worst team. So I like what I saw tonight. That's a great choice by you, you know, for the third star. I thought it was awesome to watch.
Star number two. Nathan MacKinnon, 4.9, your star number two.
Yeah.
Tough out here, bud.
I mean, he only tied for the league lead in scoring.
Didn't take it.
A 5.9 where he might have taken the lead, and we could have had a conversation about
not
it.
Not enough.
No.
No, it's not enough. It's
no, just not, not enough. A, not enough on tonight. Sorry. In all reality, though, what do you want from the guy? He was spectacular beginning to end. He got it. He got it started. He accidentally put the nail in the coffin on this one.
I mean, accidental on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, he like threw the puck in the general vicinity and it bounces off of a Chicago guy and goes into the net. And all right, it's fine.
I mean, 30 freaking games in a row at home that he gets a point at home. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know what he does for his pregame routine, but keep doing it. It's working.
Yeah, right?
It's working.
Why isn't Cale adopting it? What's going on here?
This is ridiculous.
They have that, I don't know what the saying is, but they have that conversation in basketball, right? Where if one of the best players in the league is on that night, defense doesn't matter. Some nights they just make all their shots.
Yep.
You kind of get that vibe with Nathan MacKinnon in hockey right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how you defend him, who's defending him. That dude's going to get open and score goals on you.
But yeah. I've heard teams talk about that. I mean, it's like, because people always ask, like, well, how do you stop Nathan MacKinnon? You don't stop him.
You hope he misses the net.
The only thing you can do is you hope to limit the
gonna chances he's going to get. He's going to get his and you got to score more than that.
That's guy. It. You're not going to stop him. And point taken, it's been 30 games in a row. I mean, at home. So you're not going to stop him, but I think if you concentrate on how do you limit the damage.
Yeah.
Because if you waste your time saying, how do you stop him, you're not going to get to it.
And tonight, in fact, did not stop him at all.
There was not much stopping of Nathan.
4.9, didn't do much there. Not a lot of resistance provided.
No.
He's just—he's so good, and
they've got 19 games left, and he is 15 points shy of tying Joe Sakic's Avalanche record for 120 points in a season.
Dude could cruise to that record.
Yeah, like there's a world where 10 games left,
he's got it.
Yeah, he's tied, and he's just like, all right. Where are we going now?
I just want to put that out there because there's a pretty good chance you may be watching the best single player Avalanche season ever.
Yeah.
There's a really good chance that he gets there, and there's a really good chance that this something like this doesn't get repeated again.
Yeah.
Blah.
Don't throw
well
up.
Said. Well said.
Number one. Do we just call him Mr. Shutout now?
Sure. I mean, call him whatever you want, man. When you have back-to-back shutouts.
You're the man.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I understand it's Chicago.
38 save shutout ain't no...
But...
Ain't no thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking back-to-back shutouts of a terrible, like, terrible offensive team. But that, you know how you get a shutout is you make the saves, including a clean breakaway by Connor Bedard when the game is still, when it was still competitive, it's 2-0 at the time. That could have turned this into a more competitive game, and he stops it. The Avs build out their lead, and the game becomes
an easy one.
Pretty trivial for both squads by the end of it. He's great. He was great tonight. You don't have any... There's no criticism. There's no nitpick. There's nothing to say.
Yep.
He did a great job. The only conversation that I would want to have about him is...
Why did this take so long? Yeah.
And is this an absolute middle finger to the front office that decided to roll with Ivan Prosvetov coming out of a good training camp? Like, Anonin was good in preseason. Yeah. It wasn't like he was getting lit up. It wasn't.
He didn't get hurt until after the season had started.
It didn't make any sense when it happened. And now he's put together three excellent starts. He's given up one goal in regulation.
Yep. In three games.
In 180 minutes of regulation. One goal.
I do want to continue this conversation, but our winter shots are getting warm here, and we gotta shout out these to Anonin for sure. Tonight, Dr. Dubb's prescription was 38 saves by the Juice Master. So get your vitamin W, chat. Thank you for the 100 likes. You got a chance to get us to 200 tonight. I'll do another shot if you guys get us to 200. I'm just saying.
Man, fair enough.
We got more than just shots, though. We are brought to you by Coors Light. If you didn't hear, Wednesday, watch along. We're giving away a neon Coors Light Avalanche sign. It's super sick. You got to go check it out. You can win it just by watching the watch-along, being a part of the fun time with us. So do that. Make sure you get yourself a Coors Light while you're enjoying an Avs game and chilling with the watch-along. You don't even have to get up from your couch. You can order it at CoorsLight.com/DNVR today. Get it Instacarted right to your front door. It's that easy. Beer delivery on tap with Coors Light. Go grab yourself some. Of course, enjoy responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And make sure you're jumping on the Bet365 train. I hit two of my bets tonight. I got the Druin power play point. I got the under six. That's good money right there. You're making good bucks. Didn't hit the Makar two goals, but that would have been ridiculous money. You can't win them all. Ended up net positive on the night. Go with Bet365. Use the DNVR365 code when you sign up. You bet $5 on any NHL game, you get $150 in bonus bets, so you can throw some fun money down on a ridiculous Cale Makar bet if that's what you want to go with. You can throw it down on a more likely bet to hit, like apparently Nathan MacKinnon 3 points. Pretty easy to hit when he's at home. Go with that one. Why not? Whatever you do, do it with Bet365 and the DNVR365 code. Of course, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado, and if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, the bigger conversation around the Avs' first star. This is not a hard conversation for me. I certainly wish the Avs were more aggressive in getting Anonin games earlier in the year. Eric, how do you feel about it? And do you still want the Avs to make a goalie move despite Anonin's quality play?
I really like the Juice Master. I do. I think we all do, right?
The Juice Master General?
whatever his nickname is. We're going to make a new T-shirt out of him. I really like Eustace. I do. I think we all do. Freaking liked him his first rookie camp in whatever, Anaheim or wherever it was back then. Or Vegas? Or I don't remember. I was with you. Was it Vegas, Anaheim? I'm going to go Anaheim. I'm going to go Anaheim because I remember being behind the net at one of those rinks there. Remember they asked six rinks? Anyway, I'm going to go with Anaheim. But, yeah, I think he's developed nicely. Boots has done a great job with him in Loveland. UC Parkle obviously knows, you know, same nationality. But this is the goalie of the future for the Avs. I don't think it's changed my mind with that. You have a conversation about Georgiev at the end of the year, next year when his deal's up. I mean, maybe Eustis is your guy. I mean, I sure as the talent, it's rare, and I say it all the time, it's rare that he's so technical. Look at him tonight. He's so technical. He's on top of the blue. He's in control, but he's also acrobat. He's an athlete. It's rare you see that for a big guy. I mean, there's Vasilevskiy out there. I'm not too sure who else out there is technically sound and an athlete with their size I'm talking about, because that's not – it's abnormal size. You know what I mean? Those guys are monsters. So they have something there. Wish it would have been earlier, like AJ said. Wish – who knows what the plan was, you know, for him to get some games all along. It sure would have been nice by the end of the year if he would have played his, you know, 30 games or so. It didn't happen. You know, there was an injury. There was all that stuff. But do I still think that the Avs need to go get someone? Yes. It doesn't I'm not taking anything away from him, from the two shutouts. I don't care that it's against Chicago. He's got 10 career games played. I mean, that's my point of getting – my point, I'm sure you guys' point too, but of getting a backup to Georgiev with experience is to be a mentor. It's hard. Eustis can't be a mentor to Anning. He can be a guy. You're not pushing him. You're not teaching him. You're not there for him. Eustis is going to be a different role later on in his career. I'm just saying, right now it's great to see. I think the Avs still need to get a backup and surround Georgiev.
So let me ask you this. Better. Would you feel any differently if Eustis had 30 NHL?
Yeah, that's what I say. I mean, again, and then I would say, okay, I'm going to say yes. You say no, but I'm going to say yes in a different way. Then I would say, I'm going to use a name here, just to use a name. I'd be like, okay, let's go get in number three and Martin Jones. You see what I mean? So Eustis would have had his 30 games. Then I'll say, let's go get a Martin Jones as a number three. Where now I'm saying, you got to get someone as a number two. And Eustis is your number three for the playoffs. You know, because of, I'm talking about the experience. That's it.
Because 10 games, 30 games, he's still not mentoring Georgiev. No. That's for sure.
That's my point. I think AJ and I are saying the same thing.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've worked in a front office.
Yeah.
How does this happen?
Well, I mean, yeah, I know. I think they might have overthought it a little bit at the start of the year. You know what I mean? Like, where, okay, we're going on the road. Let's let him play in the minor. He doesn't have to clear waivers. I'm talking about Eustis.
Yeah.
Let's pick up this Prosbatov and then, you know, let him get some starts. And then we'll come back. Again, it didn't work out that way. Whatever the plan was, I'm sure there was a plan. Sometimes it doesn't always work. It didn't seem like that part worked. And then Eustis got hurt. And then, you know, all of a sudden now you're at, what is it, six starts now this year? What is he at
this
now?
Would have been seven, I think.
Seven, give and take.
Yeah, his seventh.
So then you have seven career games. I mean, not career, but, well, 10, whatever, 11.
He has a handful last year.
Yeah. Sometimes you overthink it, you know what I mean? And then it goes south a little bit, and it looked like it did.
It wasn't even that Prosbatov was terrible when he was here. It wasn't like he was, oh, my God, this is bad. It's just
he wasn't significantly more proven than Eustis.
Right. And your coach had no confidence in him.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about having a game that, you know, we always talk about with the young guys, make them make decisions. You've given up two goals in three games. I don't care who they're against.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I don't care who they're against.
Yep.
But you've given up two goals in three games. You've given up one goal in regulation in 180 minutes. That's making them make a decision. That is exactly what he should be doing.
Ask a guy to play.
Right. Like, does he need to have three straight shutouts? And the problem with this is, yeah, two of those are against Chicago. I get it. Whatever. But you've now put yourself in this bind of, okay,
now what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you messed around with this position and kept force-feeding your goaltender games.
Yep.
You had a guy that you drafted and have developed and have played and played and played and played and waited and waited and waited. This is the end of his waiver eligibility this season.
It's now or never.
Right. So you need to... You could have used this season to see how you feel about next year. And instead, you're still kind of like sitting around going, well, his first three games, his last three games. You know, it's still kind of all up in the air. And it feels... It just feels so unnecessary.
Yep.
That... I don't know. I guess I'm just disappointed that we're in this position of still not knowing.
Yeah.
But I'm encouraged that...
Of course.
One of these guys has...
Played well in their opportunity.
Played so well that we can have this conversation.
Yep.
That we're not sitting here going, oh my God, we absolutely need that guy. It needs to be Jake Allen. Now you can have a Martin Jones conversation or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just feels like the Avs have made their lives a little bit harder in that regard, for sure.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Can't go backwards in time and fix it. So, look, I don't want to nitpick the Avs organization too much on a night they stomped a hockey team. So,
no, absolutely. I wanted to have the conversation of the position that they're in now because they made decisions.
Totally. Justifiable, sure. Reasonable conversation.
I just wish we had eight more Anonin starts
yep.
to talk about.
Then you have a body of work to really start getting into and
yep.
not trying to show stats of three-game segments, which are, for a goalie, nearly meaningless.
Yeah, I mean, they're so small. Even for a skater, you're just like, come on. You're trying to make big decisions based on this?
Yeah. It's tough. Like,
you put yourself in this position, and that sucks.
Yep.
Because this is, like, the upside. This is obviously best-case scenario, but this is the upside that we all have said, you know, with Anadin.
Yep.
He's a big goalie. He's athletic. He's technically sound. When he's locked in, he's pretty good.
Set the shutout record in the Liga at one point.
Right. Like,
not bad. Anyway, 200 like, likes, Chet.
I'm just so desperate for a homegrown goaltender to matter.
Yeah. We appreciate y'all. 200 likes is ridiculous. So we'll do another one for you. Some more vitamin W. Getting back into tonight's game, right now, which one of you likes Zach Parise more?
It's obviously me.
Yeah.
I think it probably is you, but I have to say, watching the way Zach Parise plays in Colorado, does it not fit what you talk about with a hard-working third-line type guy to a T?
Does, and that's why I think he's a perfect fit. And then agree with AJ and you, and you bring in a rink rat to the locker room, you bring in a guy with over 1,000 games experience, you're bringing a guy that's hungry to win that silver thing because he's never won it, so you bring in a factor in there, let's win it for Zach, right? You know, that could be a factor for McKinnon, McCarr, guys like that have won it, that are like, all right, let's go win it for grandpa, whatever you want to call him. I'm sure he gets rizzed a little bit in the locker room about being older. But, yeah, and he plays a greasy game. I mean, he does go to the greasy areas. I think he knows what he is at this stage of his career with his experience. But when I say that, I'm not trying to diminish what he is, but he's certainly not a top line guy anymore. Mm-hmm. But he's also not a fourth line guy. You know what I mean? Meaning he's, if that guy's on your fourth line, well, you got a pretty good deep lineup. And that's encouraging.
I mean, I think right now he might just be taking Miles Wood's job.
Yeah.
In your top outright, nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, in your top nine. Because he might, they're scoring this year. Like, He's on fire right now.
Obviously not going to score every other game, but yeah. It's pretty clear that there's more ability to produce there.
Yeah, and the guy, it just, he's the Energizer Bunny, man. Yeah. I mean,
he goes hard.
Go, 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 go. Every single shift. He knows what he is. He knows how to play the game. He's motivated. He's like a turbocharged version of Andrew Cogliano when they got Cogliano.
Yep.
And I mean like a turbocharged version of that. He can do all the same things. It's the same profile of player.
He's got a motor.
He's just a better player than, and this is what we talked about when he got signed, and I was really confused by the number of people who were like, he's 39. This isn't going to help. Why are we doing this? And now it's like, Zach Parise rules. He's
actually helping quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody that watched him play in New York last 2 years with the Islanders could tell you. That's why I felt so comfortable with it. I watched him do exactly this for the Islanders, where he just grinds. He just grinds. He works so hard all the time. Yep. He brings that element. Is he an overly physical guy? No, but he's not. He doesn't lack for the try hard. He's not afraid to go into a corner and board battle. You know, there's a grit to his game. No, he's not a guy that you're going to think of as a classic like fourth line guy. But I'm sorry, but he's at the moment for my money. I would have a hard time playing Miles Wood more minutes than him.
Well, Bednar talked about it at his presser this morning. Somebody asked him about Parise and. He goes, hey, listen, I didn't know him, never met him before, you know, but all I know, and it's to your point right here, he goes, I know that he had a heck of a season last year in New York, so he goes, I wasn't worried about it because, okay, so until Christmas, he just kind of, you know, rested, and then, you know, it's taxing to play in the National Hockey League, especially yeah. at that age, and he goes, I knew that he was going to be fine because he was a very... impressive player last year in New York, you know what I mean, for what he had to do, and he did it, and so he was excited about, you know, saying like, hey, he's come in and he's fit in well and he's done more than what's been expected of his presence in here with all the other stuff that we were talking about earlier, yeah. like, you know, he's number one and let's win it for Zach type of deal. But yeah, it's been fun to watch. Been really fun to watch.
Chat, we're not going to take our shirts off, but I can tell you it is a DNVR after dark pod because there are exactly zero shoes on feet on this podcast.
Yeah, right now. I finally joined the parade. I took them off.
It makes your brain open up and then you have better thoughts.
To be honest, I think it's just letting the dogs out for McKinnon.
Yep. That's what we do. And then we did it before the game started. The dogs were off tonight. Yeah.
If the dog eats, the dogs eat.
Yeah, there we go. Sometimes you got to let the dog eat. That's what they say.
Hey, it was John Candy's anniversary. So remember when he takes his shoes off and playing straight? He's like, oh,
who's that?
My dogs are barking. What? Greatest Canadian actor ever, man.
Oh, okay.
Don't believe his scams. He knows who John Candy is.
I know he does. Remember when he takes his dogs off in the plane? He's like, oh, my dogs are barking. And what's his name? Panicking next to him. Steve Martin.
Who's that?
Oh, God. Shut up.
Look,
AJ.
Oh, Lord. I know that it's a tough market out there sometimes, but there are better ways to save money than starting a feed OnlyFans. All right?
Gross.
Go to American Financing you don't instead.
Do that. You go to Fee Finder.
Go to American Financing instead of that also. Don't take feet pics. Save yourself up to $854 a month with American Financing today. They do that by getting rid of high interest credit card debt and not forcing you to take feet pictures. Right now, mortgage rates are lower than they've been in a very long time, so the interest rates are way down. And then American Financing will hook you up and save you hundreds of dollars a month. $850 a month, that's over $10,000 in a year, and they may be able to close your loan in as fast as 10 days. It just takes just minutes to get started, and it costs you nothing to see how much money you can save. Call American Financing today, and you may even be able to delay your next two mortgage payments. Let them know DNVR sent you over at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000 or go to americanfinancing.net/DNVR. NMLS 182334, NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
org. Once you've saved yourself a nice chunk of change from American financing, then you can
spend that money on Viewfinder.
You spend your money how you want to spend it. I ain't going to judge on that side of it, all right? Then you can go take your savings and make sure your house is good to go with Red Hawk Roofing. Give Red Hawk Roofing a call today. They'll come out. They'll inspect your roof totally free. You don't have to pay anything. They'll go up there. They'll take pictures of your roof. They'll let you know what's going on up there. If there are problems, they can get it all fixed up for you. They're the best roofers in Colorado. They're a local company just like us here at DNVR. So go check them out. Go to redhawkroofing.com today. And even if you have an emergency situation, if you spring a leak or something, Red Hawk Roofing is available 24/7. So they'll get you all patched up. Whatever you might need, redhawkroofing.com. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast.
Man, I thought you were...
Me too. I thought he was taking it off.
He's going like this, and he was
Taking it off.
I thought this was about to happen. Nope. I was like, please don't tarps off.
Well,
please.
But American financing... American financing, I would use that money in that. Maybe we should get, like, foot massagers for post-game.
Ooh, that'd be
like,
nice.
You know, like, ooh.
A little foot dipping pool.
Yes. Like, yeah.
Now we're talking. If they get the 300 likes, I'll take the shirt off.
No.
No.
We're going to lose likes.
I need a drape here. I need a drape.
We're not close to 300. Anyway. Colorado. Good hockey team?
Still good, not great.
That is the answer I was looking for.
Still good, not great.
Could be great by the weekend.
And the last thing I wanted to touch on tonight, you get a goal out of Jonathan Drouin. I think the reality is, certainly post All-Star break, the Avs' depth forward scoring has just not been good enough.
Correct.
Whether that be the fact that the Chaos line has struggled to produce, or that a guy who's pseudo your 2C, Ross Colton, has 3 goals in his last 16 games. It's just not enough. Are there things that the Avs can do to increase their production with their current lineup? Or is the answer really just get Val back, get a 2C, trade deadline, save us, please?
Well, you just answered it, so why are you asking the question?
I'm asking, is it that? So there is no internal solution then?
No, not anymore, no. Man. Okay. No. You're 62 games?
63.
63 games into the season. No, that's the ship has sailed, brother.
Yep.
You're done. You know who you are, you know who you aren't, yeah. And right now who you aren't is not good enough to win a Stanley Cup as...
constructed.
The lineup that was iced tonight, not good enough.
Sure.
So, and in part, that's because you need an impact player in place of Ryan Johansson.
Yep.
You just do. I don't care about anything else in that conversation. You just do. So, yeah. After that, is that enough? Because Nichushkin should be back this week.
Yeah.
What I'm curious, I'm going to ask you guys this, but because I think I know the answer, and I think I'll agree with you, but do you go and get Nichushkin insurance? Do you go and get another, like, middle six wing? Instead of going and getting a sixth or seventh D, do you go and get a middle six wing just in case Val Nichushkin can't handle going on the road again?
Nope.
You just have to let it ride with him?
Yep.
And just hope for the best?
I think so.
I don't think you have the money or the assets to really go and do, like, a Jake Guentzel kind of thing. Yeah. And, like, Jake Guentzel would be very, very expensive as insurance.
Yeah, if someone's like, hey, I'll give you a fifth round pick for a 45 point winger, it's like, yeah, sure. Okay, great. I will not look a gift horse in the mouth. But if you're having a real hockey trade,
shouldn't look at any horse in the mouth.
Yeah, I won't, believe
nasty.
Me.
Nasty. Nasty. Big ass gums.
In a world where you're making a real hockey trade where you have to give up assets and make the cap work. Yeah. I just don't see how they can fit in a move like that.
I'm thinking like an Anthony Duclair or Jordan Eberle type of player here, where it's like one of these guys that would be in the middle of your lineup, not at the top of your lineup.
What if I could convince you that Jordan Eberle was a center?
I would say you've never watched Jordan Eberle play hockey, and we're in a bad way.
I don't actually think he's a center, for the record.
You know, they have an experienced center in their lineup already.
Yanni Gord.
Face-off master, a guru, if you will, just waiting to be unleashed upon the world in Jonathan Drouin.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Yanni Gord in freaking Seattle.
So you're saying there is an internal solution.
Yeah, it's that. That's why I said there isn't one.
Miss me with that, for sure.
I thought he was going to Gord there. He's talking about Eberle in Seattle.
I would say this is one of those moves where it's like, if you make your move for a 2C, if you get down to the end of deadline day and you haven't found a partner that makes sense for a 6D or a 4C or even a 2G, if your other options have fallen through and there's 30 minutes on the clock, sure. Go out and get a third line winger.
Hell yeah, Jordan Eberle as our, there's 30 minutes left and we've got assets burning a hole in our pocket. Let's go!
But winger is fifth on the priority list.
Okay.
Centers, goaltenders,
I was just curious how you guys felt because, I mean, Nichushkin, it is, I'm just going to say.
It's a good point.
Like, it is really hard to just magically trust that he's going to be okay coming back. Wing is the part of your roster that you feel the most comfortable with right now because it is a deep. I mean, we're talking about Andrew Cogliano not even being in your lineup. Gabe Landeskog might drop in there. Is Gabe Landeskog your Valerie Nichushkin insurance?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Honestly, maybe.
It's like not great insurance. Yeah. Do you need insurance for your insurance at that point?
Your insurance is like catastrophic coverage only.
Hey, you need luck to win, right? Maybe that's your luck.
It's more
right
of
there.
A life insurance policy.
Yeah. So you need like force majeure insurance is what we're talking about here. All right.
COVID. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. That's where I'm at with that conversation.
Okay. I was just curious because it is a tough spot to be in as an organization where if anything were to happen with him during this run, I think that you have to term him and just move on. Yep. You just can't continue to.
Yeah. Three strikes, you're out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I guess I did see this in chat. Any thoughts on Caleb Jones?
I thought it was really good, honestly. Thought a little rusty at first,
yep.
But I thought he found his game as it went on. And then again, the entire third period is tough.
It was a non-hockey game.
Yeah,
you can skate, you can practice all you want. Game reps aren't the same. So, you know, it was good that he got the rust off, like you said, and it was good that he got some minutes in. And who knows, he might be another month before he plays the game now. You know what I mean? But at least he got some game conditions. You know what I mean? Tonight, and then. That's what he is, right? He's a 7th D. You know, that's what he is on this team. So, and like, again, I'm going back to Bednar's presser this morning. It's not like he did anything wrong. It's not like he hasn't been practicing well. It's not. So we like our decor, and we didn't want to make any changes just for the sake of making changes. Tonight, it just happens that Manson's out, and he had the Chicago flu. And no, I'm just kidding. It's a low farce. Ha ha. Sarcasm.
But we should just run with it.
Yeah. And
Josh Manson, of all people, is afraid of.
And I heard that this one I was dying.
Defending
no.
His heinous actions against the honorable Chicago Blackhawks.
You need to Justice. Lean into the heel, or I'll lean into the heel if you want. He doesn't have the Chicago flu. He's avoiding the Chicago flu. That team is sickly. Infectious.
Nice.
Disgusting.
Nice.
Sarcasm.
How many more synonyms could we pop out?
They will. Disease your team. I feel like them get too close.
I feel like we're playing Wordle.
My wife plays that. The game on the.
Oh, dude, I'm so bad at it.
Yeah, I'm so
breaks
I'm
my,
terrible.
Breaks
at
my brain,
too.
Man. Breaks my brain.
It's a tough one.
I had a follow up question, and
go for it.
Well, I completely forgot it.
Oh,
I'm glad I shared that with everybody.
Caleb Jones. No, we were talking about Caleb Jones.
No, before that.
Manson.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Your follow-up question.
Oh, I do, actually. I'm so sorry. I did not do that on purpose to you.
We're talking about Eustace Onanen's performance maybe being enough to persuade you to not chase a second goaltender, maybe.
No.
Question, Chris Wagner, 4C, are you, you still have Frederik Olofsson in your organization. Are you maybe less inclined to go for a guy like a Nick Dowd where you pay a premium price, but you get a premium 4C because Chris Wagner's been pretty good in that role? Is it like, it's been a week, AJ?
I'm less concerned about asset price there. The reality of my belief at this point is that the Avs should be going essentially all in at this trade deadline. So, use your assets.
Okay.
Go out and get the guy you believe is best to fill the role. And if the Avs feel like it's a good value line on some other guy that isn't Nick Dowd, cool. Go spend a fourth on whoever. I don't care.
Zygmunt.
But I don't think you can look at Chris Wagner's game and say it's been so good that you shouldn't look to get better.
I guess, let me rephrase real quick. Say your 4C priorities. You break down your priorities. You've got your wish list for the trade deadline. Then you get to 4C, wherever it may be. You break it into subcategories, because now I'm apparently Leslie Knope, and I just want to make a giant list. You say, okay, hey, 4C, Nick Dowd, top of the list. Mm-hmm. How far down the list is, we're fine with Chris Wagner?
At least, like, four.
Yeah, say that, too.
Haters!
Mm. No, I like him. I like
haters!
Where is he for you? Two? Three?
Yeah, I think not knowing what it's going to cost to get Nick Dowd, in lieu of that information, I would say somewhere 2-3 would be for me, because I think he's done the job and I think he checks boxes.
Okay. I'm fine with it. I'd like, if we get to the end of the deadline day and Chris Wagner's the Avs 4C, I don't hate it.
I like it better than what it was a month ago. That's me.
But if Nick Dowd gets traded somewhere for a third round pick, I'm going to hate it.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. You're going to have a pace problem in Colorado for sure. Nick Dowd is just like the name for 4C. Let me ask you. Zemgus.
Yes, ahead of him.
What's the price? I mean, it's always
not high.
Then probably
Zemgus.
Sure.
I go Zemgus more than Nick Dowd, yes.
They call me the Gergensen Gurgler.
Gross. That's a disgusting name. Also, an extremely specific nickname.
I got more size, more fits the prototype for me.
Yeah, if it's a reasonable price, then yeah. Definitely.
You don't think Wagner fits the prototype?
Oh, no, he does. No, I'm talking about Nick Dowd. Going, yeah.
Cool.
Outside, I was saying.
The thing with Zemgus, though, also is really good underlying numbers. Not going to do much for you in the faceoff circle.
No.
But.
Though par for the course.
Has not had a good year. Very par for the course for most of Buffalo's roster. Has not had a good year. So, should be cheap to acquire, right?
Like, yes.
Okay. The other name that we're in here, Jake Evans. Like,
yeah. Again, if price is right, yes.
These are all conversations that we've talked about off air as well. But yeah. Jake Evans, Eric, I'm just curious your thoughts.
I like him. I liked him in the minors. For me, he's a fourth liner. I'm scared to say anything because you're reading, and you're scaring me right now when you're reading. You're good?
It's not about you. You're good.
No, not about me. But Jake Evans, for me, is more, he's a fourth line center on a championship caliber team. And then he can float around on a non-playoff team. You know what I mean? Where I like him. I do. I strictly as a fourth line guy.
Yeah.
Brings a little bit of jam, a little bit of, a little bit of pace, a little bit of everything. You know, again, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but I'd like to have that instead of Nick Dowd on the fourth line.
That's just me. Fit wise, why am I missing something?
No, no, you're fine.
Okay.
There was no going back after you said you were the Gergensen gurgler. What's wrong with you?
I know what I did.
Why is it going nuts in there?
No, he's just gross.
FuboTV. Go to FuboTV.com/DNVR. Get all your Colorado sports on.
They're really going to let us on there now.
They got abs and nuggets. You get 15% off of Fubo Pro, where you can watch real television shows.
I need your glasses, Tiff. I can't read.
No, nobody gurgling on Fubo TV, that's for sure. They got movies, they've got news, they've got everything covered.
Wasn't planned.
They even come with 1,000 hours of DVR, so you can record games even if you're not at home. Go to FuboTV.com/DNVR today to get 15% off that first month of Fubo Pro. And then go support us. If you think we're silly and fun and stupid, consider becoming a DNVR diehard member. You get a ton of amazing rewards, including a DNVR membership card, a free t-shirt with your order, which is like half the price right there. It makes it worth it. You get to become part of our Discord. You get a ton of discounts at the bar and all of our events and on shirts and all that good stuff. And you help support us, you know, so we can make cool content like all the trade videos that we've been making on guys like Henrik and Winberg and Mittelstadt and...
And Kaapo Kähkönen.
Kaapo Kähkönen, yeah.
Who may not be needed because the Avs have their own Kaapo Kähkönen.
Yep.
They grew one.
Right in their own backyard.
Yeah, and like the Avalanche lab.
The garden.
Ooh.
The snow garden.
I like it.
There you go. Consider supporting us. Become a DNVR diehard today. Get access to our exclusive content and all of those other great, awesome deals. We got one super chat.
I'm afraid to read it.
It was from before, so it'll be all right.
From the before time.
$5 from DeGro, who says, NHL, Mac World, we're just living in it. And the juice is great. Love it. And Tiff is the goat. She does put up with us, that's for sure. So
DeGro just out here putting the moves on Tiff.
Sliding in those DMs, buddy.
Slide in the super chats.
Yeah, that, those are, they're like DMs for the pod, if you think about
pod
it.
Pod DMs?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, Lord.
That's all I got before I say something even more embarrassing. So any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I'm excited for tomorrow's show.
Me too.
We're going to seriously look at some of these, and then we are going to absolutely body some of the other ones. For the record, yes. We are ironically using the name Rizzler. Yes. That is the joke.
Guys seem to be... Oh, go ahead. No, I thought you were done. Sorry.
I am.
I don't want to take your Rizzler job away. So
you can't.
Rizzling.
Have you ever wanted to rip a front office to shreds, Eric?
Yes.
Well, you're going to get to do that tomorrow.
Yes. So.
Buckle up, buddy.
Yeah. Yes. A whole bunch of people roster baited, and we are going to judge them harshly for the results of that roster baitation.
Is it past 12?
It only feels like it, buddy. It only feels like it.
Check it out on the Twitter. I mean, it seems like all the boys are happy tonight. I'm seeing all the locker room interviews and saying everybody seems to be pumped and excited. And they're excited for Eustace. So good work.
It was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, a 5-0 shutout, in which this game was never really that close. Like, come on. That's why we're having fun tonight.
And tomorrow.
Thank you for the $5, Walrus Man.
Don't read this.
It's fine. It just says gurgle, gurgle, Rudo. We won't forget what you said, you schmeeter.
Gross.
It's all good. Those are just made-up words.
All words are made up.
Exactly.
Drake.
I've never been more convinced that language is just a scam until after listening to Eric and Bob Hartley speak in French for 5 minutes. Yeah, at one point, they were just like, oh, wah, wah, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, what? Come on. This isn't a language.
checking borderline racist off the box. No! The podcast.
I just don't understand it. So I'm like, what is this? It was crazy. It was crazy, man. Anyway.
Bye. We love you.
Turn it off, Tim.
City like the mayor.